calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me.
All right, we're back. Tech Sags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio of Des Moines, Iowa, for the NCAA tournament game. A&M versus Penn State, the late game, of course, here. Logan, one of the things that I have really enjoyed over the last couple of years of getting to know you better is your relationships with your teammates. I felt back then like you guys were a close group, like I see with this group. And I still see the interactions. You're going back and forth with Dominique there a moment ago on text. You guys, the way you are with your teammates. And I also told you before we welcome in here on the show, I love watching defensive specialists. That's my thing. I don't know why. I've always been into it. I named some guys, Eddie Nahara, Ron Artest, Draymond, Pat Beverly, and this guy right here, Dominique Kirk, one of my favorites to watch. And we're welcoming him here on TechSags Radio, a four-year starter for Billy Gillespie and Texas A&M on the program. Dominique, good morning. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. Appreciate it, fellas. Appreciate you for having me.
Hey, Nick, how's everything going, man?
Everything good, Lee, man. How's everything going with you, brother?
I'm doing well. I apologize. I did not let them know that they should have had DMX on the intro.
Oh, man. Gotta have that, right?
That would have put you at a different level. I know what that does. Hey, but before we started with A&M basketball talk and everything, let's talk about this championship run, brother. How was that?
Oh, man, it was wonderful, man. It was great. It was a lot of work that we put in, and I appreciate the coaching staff at Lake Highlands, man, for bringing me in this year. You know, my first year there, and we got the job done, man. It was great.
What was the difference this year? You've been on a couple of staffs. You get to Lake Highlands, and you have Johnson, and you have a great team. But what was this year like going through from start to finish?
It was great, Lee. Like, I learned so much from my guys at Bishop Lynch, man, the first 2 years I was coaching. So my third year here, my first year here at Lake Highlands, it was just more so kind of getting myself into the mode of what they do and what they like, and, you know, kind of understanding the players a little bit. And, man, it was wonderful, man. Like, from start to finish, I always feel like this group had a chance to win it all. And we just went out there and proved it every day, practiced hard every day, and I went out there and competed. And at the end of the day, we stay champions, man.
Now that you've had some time to bask in your gold medal.
Yes.
What does next year look like? Are you going to be at Lake Highlands again? And what's the team looking like coming back?
So my plan is to come back, of course. Like I said, we'll see, you know, what's going on in the future and stuff like that, man. But, like I said, I think we're going to have a really good group next year as well. It's just one of them things where, you know, we got to put the work in. You know how it goes, man. You know, you win 1 year, next year can be totally different. So I think it's going to be good, man. I think we're going to have another run at it, and hopefully we can try to go back to back.
Dominique, the pleasure of covering you back in the day, 05, 06, when I was back in College Station, also an Aggie class of 99. So it was great to cover you then. One of the things that I'm loving about this interview, and Logan will tell you, this is three dads that love their family. I see the hat. I hear the kids in the background.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Update us on family life. Tell us about your family.
It's been great, man. I got a daughter. She's 3 years old. My son, he's one. He'll be two in June. It's been great, man. It's something that I had to, of course, get used to. I remember like I said, not too long ago, man, like I said, we have kids and stuff like that. But now, like I said, having two kids in 3 years, man, it goes by fast. I'm pretty sure Lee, I know, like I said, when I met his kids, man, and it was just a joy to see. Then when I had my own, man, it's been great.
Talking to Dominique Kirk here on TechSags Radio. Logan and I have our baseball silence plan. It's like, who takes the next question? So let's talk a little bit about this actual Buzz Williams team, man. Go back to your day when he was an assistant. Were there things that popped up back then? You're like, this guy is going to be a really good head coach one day.
Yeah, man. You know, Buzz always had a great relationship with players. That was one thing that he was always good at, even when our time was there. His relationship with the players has always been great. He's a leader of men. And it's just one of them things where we knew he knew the X's and O's of the game. We already knew that. But the fact that he know how to lead men into what they need to do, like I said, man, he's been great. Like, I've been down there. I think I was out there maybe a summer a summer and a half ago. I went out there and visited the guys. And like I said, he'd done a great job of just getting these guys ready and stuff like that. So it's no surprise. It's no surprise that he's at where he's at right now. Hopefully he can make a good run at this tournament.
You talk about making a good run. They start out with Penn State. Excuse me. That has Jalen Pickett, All-American. You played against Syracuse, Jerry McNamara, and you had to shut down McNamara, who was one of the hottest guards in the country at that time. What does this team have to do to slow down Jalen Pickett and the Nittany Lions?
You know what? It's a great team defense. As far as I've seen all season, man, these guys does a great job with playing team defense. Dennis Kidd, I mean, I love his tenacity. I love how he, you know, moves around the floor and stuff like that. And like I said, these guys, they compete, man. I love watching this group. I think I watched maybe about 4 or 5 games this year of them, and they compete. They compete at a high level. And like I said, Buzz got them playing the right way. And also, we have an All-American ourselves, too. So we go out there and we compete.
Dominique, what is it about tournament time that these veteran-type teams find a way? And look, I know Penn State's got a lot of veterans, but A&M is full of guys that have a lot of tournament experience. Maybe not NCAA tournament experience, but tournament experience.
Yes. To me, it's everything, man. You know, when it gets March, I think that's where, you know, the light is the brightest. And we go out there and you just play your game, man. Like I said, you've been working so hard for this moment, and now you just go out there and play. So I'm looking forward to our veteran guys go out there and do what they do and go out there and try to advance as much as they can.
Let's go back in the day. What was your favorite tournament game? You had a lot of them.
Yes.
You played in a number of postseason games. Do you have one that stands out to you and not necessarily your performance in general, but just the team and the atmosphere?
I mean, obviously, it can always be one of those, the Louisville game, going to Sweet 16. That's one game that definitely sticks out. The Syracuse game was really good. I thought the Syracuse game was the driving factor of our program. You know, that was our first game lead in the NCAA tournament as a group. And like I said, you know, when we watched the highlight tape or the film session of them, they look like the greatest team in America.
I mean, it was a highlight tape. They just played about 15 minutes and nothing but buckets.
Nothing but buckets, man. David, it was unbelievable, man, how good these guys were on film. But it prepared us. It prepared us to a way where – in our scout team, they did a great job of kicking our butt pretty much for 2 or 3 days. And
Ryan Blackburn couldn't miss.
He couldn't miss, man. And but, man, it was great, though. Definitely. It was great, and it prepared us.
Dominique, I did this early when I got to Texags, right? And Logan gave me this look like, dude, stop, all right? And I'm going to do it again, but with both of you here. So – I was hoping, as a TV guy, like I try to find like times where this guy could be like this guy, and I started comparing Wade to AC way too early in the conversation, and I Henry to Joseph. Right. So, right now though, let's play that game. I mean, I guess Dexter is similar to you. Wade, who's Boost? Like, just do you see some comparisons to the way that team was built to what we see right now?
A little bit, yes, sir. A little bit, man. Like I said, first of all, Dexter, he's definitely a lot more athletic than I am and a lot more rangy than I was, man. He's unbelievable athletic. But yeah, man, this team, they got the you know how some teams just got the it factor? And I feel like this team does, man. You know, all year I've been battling people around here about us being what we was 16-2 or something like that in conference. And at some point, we weren't even ranked. Like, I don't understand that. And it never makes sense to me. But anyway, man, this team got it, man. They really do. They got something about them that I feel like that's going to push them ahead, for sure.
I will say this. The whole Wade Taylor comparison to AC Law threw me for a loop in the beginning because I was like, we can't talk about a guy that's in the rafters, the only guy that's in the rafters, to a sophomore here that had – I think after that game, he had like 6 turnovers, the game we were talking about. Like,
right.
But I think his growth throughout this season has catapulted him into, I could see that conversation coming in the future.
But don't you think it It takes now, right? AC made his name in tournaments. Yeah, he did it in the regular season. But you legends are created in postseason play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. We went in our last year. Dominic, were we a 3 seed?
Yes. 3 seed.
We were a 3 seed, and we were supposed to beat all those teams. And I think the fact that we were a 3 seed going in, I think we were 13-3 in conference play in the Big 12, and we lost to Texas Tech twice that didn't give us the Big 12 championship. And we had momentum the entire time throughout non-conference, throughout conference, throughout the then going into the tournament. This team, if Wade is going to get the accolades and the acknowledgments, they can't have a 6-5 non-conference record.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
We weren't, if we had lost to a Wofford or a whatever that
Murray State.
No, the last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, Fairleigh or right. Raleigh or whatever, wherever it was. We didn't do that. And they can't do that in Wade's junior and senior year if he's going to continue to get those accolades.
Dominic, some thoughts on that. Just, I mean, beyond that, if this guy can get them, not just him, it's a team concept, to an Elite Eight, a Final Four, Sweet 16, that's where comparisons really start being made.
Yes, for sure, man. I think, I've been watching Wade ever since he was in high school as well. Like I say, he's a unique player. He's a unique player. He's one of them guys that can make shots, but I didn't know how good his playmaking ability was. And it's phenomenal. It really is, man. And like I say, he's not the biggest guy, but he go out there and get it done. My thing is with him, like I said, yes, you know, it's kind of early to compare Lawman with Wade. But like I said, Lawman sophomore year, you know, he was kind of making his name for himself. And people forget that, like, hey, you know, he had to kind of build himself like that as well to the point where he was at. So, like I said, it's definitely, you know, the opportunity is there. The comparison is there. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, that Wade is the first All-American since AC Law. Is that correct? Was 13? Was that somebody else?
No, he's not. Wade didn't get All American this year.
He wasn't. I thought he was third team All American.
He got first team All SEC.
Yeah, he got first team All. He didn't get it.
Okay. So, like, for him to even get to that point, though, man, as a point guard, for him to get first team All SEC, that's like I said. Yeah, you can always have a comparison and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, man, I think the kid got something to him. Obviously, like I said, I'm a big fan of him, you know, being from Dallas and stuff like that, kind of following him, of course. But yeah, man, I think he can lead this team into, you know, to something special.
Dominique, man, this has been fun. I hope we can do it again. My first time to talk to you since you were, what, probably 19 years old, man. So thank you so much.
I know, right?
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Hey, man, I appreciate it. Definitely. Lee, man, good to see you again, man. Tell the family I say hello, brother.
You too, Kirk.
All right, man.
We'll see you there. And let's, you know, hopefully the Aggies make a run to the Final Four. We'll get them back on the program. Thank you very much to Dominique Kirk. Right now we're talking about the Association of Former Students. People like, I'm going to call him Kirk too. We're going to do last names, right? Because you're Lee. Can I be Nuno here?
Or Neek.
Neek, okay.
Neek and Nuno.
Neek, that would be a heck of a podcast.
Neek and Nuno.
Neek and Nuno, dude. We're starting it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Can you? I don't have his number. Can you tell him that that's our new thing? Neek and Nuno. But he's probably part of the association because, you know, they take care of Aggies, former students, current students, you name it. That's what the association does. And they do that through scholarships, student assistance programs, Aggie bands, silver taps, class reunions, muster, tailgate, the traveling Aggies. They've been doing it for a long, long time, and they do it with so much love. And the reason they do it is for people just like you, and people like Dominique Kirk and people like Logan Lee, Billy Lucci, everybody who's a part of this Aggie network, the former students. They do it for the current and the former, and that's why they've created IamTheWhy.com. So you can see their why, feel their why, and just actually get a good sense of what this Aggie network's all about, and you can upload your story as well. The website is IamTheWhy.com. Again, IamTheWhy.com, the Association of Former Students. Hi, we are back at Zags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers. We are here in the Rollo Insurance Studio of Des Moines, Iowa, getting ready for tonight's matchup, Texas A&M versus Penn State, the 10 versus the 7, or the 7 versus the 10, I should say. We go to the hotline, and that's where we find Billy Lucci. Billy, good morning.
Morning, David. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, bud. What's going on in your world?
I'm out getting in the car. What are you up to? Sitting in that hotel room?
Buddy.
As long as Olin's not creeping in the background, I enjoy it. It's weird. Like, it's just weird that y'all are back to back in there.
Well, there is a reason for that. The bed does not allow for us to put our chairs any other way. So, yeah, it is weird, but it's for the viewing experience.
It's for the listening experience.
Oh, this is true. Yeah.
You know, there was something I was going to tell you this morning when I was listening to you guys. Yeah, it was St. Peter's, and it was the guy that hit the half-court shot that Owen's talking about. I'm not positive that that guy didn't go to Texas, and he was like a late-blooming, big-time recruit under that was a Turgeon guy. Never mind. I take that back. If he beat AC Law, there was a recruit out of the San Antonio area that, anyway, never mind.
Well, that's all right.
Let's talk basketball.
Well, did you hear any of that conversation with Dominique Kirk?
No, I did not.
It was awesome, man. He was great. He just won a state championship as an assistant coach with Lake Highland. And I was telling him, I used to love watching him play, man. He brought a level of intensity that team needed.
Well, yeah, he was a heart and soul. I thought defensively, I'd go him one, Chris Walker two. And that team had a lot of guys that just did things. You know, Josh Carter was a three-point specialist. AC Law was just the obviously the point guard, but the no fear, I'm going to take over the game guy. Joe Jones, an enforcer inside, and just, you know, there you never knew when he was going to come out and score 18 and, you know, get 18 and 10 on you. AK was another guy that just brought this level of toughness and physicality and could score, sometimes hit threes. But Dominique and Chris Walker coming off the bench, and at times Chris was, you know, starting, I guess, that one year. But just what they did in terms of setting an identity. And Dominique, you know, he wasn't the scoring threat even that Dexter Dennis is. But they're comparable, and I'm sure you guys mentioned this, you know, in their lockdown man-to-man defense. Like, they are the put you on the other team's best guy. And Logan, I heard reference it yesterday, what Neek did to Jerry McNamara in Syracuse that first year they went to the tournament, where I think he didn't make a field goal. And there was a lot of talk that year within the program, and I mean coaches, Billy Gillespie, Alvin Brooks, you know, other assistants, that had A&M not lost to that buzzer beater to LSU, that heartbreaker. Remember, LSU went to the Final Four that year because the next game they handily beat Duke. They controlled the game. A lot of people felt that Duke team was a little overrated. They loved the matchup with Duke because J.J. Redick did so much for them offensively, and that was going to be the guy that Dominique Kirk checked the whole game, denied the ball, guarded, and they didn't get that opportunity because of a buzzer beater. But in this instance, you know, you have Dexter Dennis and, you know, Penn State, you guys have talked about him all morning. Big time scoring threat, and you're going to hope that Dexter Dennis causes him headaches. He's going to get some points. You're not going to hold him without a field goal like you did McNamara. But Dexter Dennis is, you know, obviously a huge key to this game. But like that same team we talked about, Nuno, this team has so many ways to beat you. And when a team takes something away, they always can find something else. When, you know, a team has its strengths, you can answer and say, well, we don't really have any weaknesses. There are some areas that are better than others. And maybe you run into a team of uber athletes like Bama or a team that's just massive down low. But I don't even think that phases when you got guys like Coleman and Marble, and then you got depth coming off the bench in the front court. I think the only thing is when you run into one of those uber long and athletic teams like an Arkansas, like an Alabama, well, guess what? Their record against those two teams this year is 3-2. And those are probably, to me,
the most, let's call them quote unquote NBA teams you're going to play. Well, tonight, that's not what they're playing. And I think in some ways, this is the second toughest type matchup. See, that's why, David, the Texas game intrigues me so damn much. Because for two reasons. Number one, Texas and A&M are very similar in how they get after your ass on the defensive end. That part I don't like. I would love to see A&M play a team that they're mentally tougher than and that they can just out-hustle. Texas hustles and they're mentally tough. But they've got great athletes. They've got, you know, NBA talent, but I don't think they're overwhelming like the Alabama, even Arkansas in terms of the length and athleticism. And again, the Aggies were 3-2 against those teams. I actually would low-key, I wouldn't feel better about A&M winning that second round game, but I kind of almost would like the matchup a little more than tonight's. Tonight's really? Matchup scares me. I think the Aggies have a better chance to win tonight because I think they're better. You know, they're over the course of the year, they're a better team. But since January 1st, if you can, we'll talk more about this if and when they get there. And I do think A&M's going to win tonight. I just think it's going to be a tough ball. It's going to be a tough ball game. It's going to be a tough 40 minutes. But if they get to play Texas, I know Texas is a 2-seed, A&M's a 7. We all know that A&M should be a 5, if not a 4. But since January 1st, what Texas has done is in no way more impressive than what A&M's done. They're about the same. They've both been, I think, among the top 5 or 6 resumes in the country from that cutoff point. And you could say it's an arbitrary cutoff point, but really what we're talking about is the start of conference play in the conference tournament. We'll talk about that more if they get there. But because of that, I just kind of like that matchup. This one worries me from the 3-point shooting, how hot Penn State is. They remind me of say, I know A&M's hot this year too, but I think A&M's hot to the point that they should have been, again, a 4 or 5 seed. This is like had A&M's team gotten into the tournament last year. That's what this would be like. They're that team that you go, you know, if we weren't sitting in our little bubble in College Station and in the SEC and we were just national college basketball experts, we'd be saying, you better hope Penn State doesn't get in. And if they do, you don't want to be the team that plays them in round one. The exact same thing they would have been saying about the Aggies last season. That's who A&M's playing right now. Different team, yes, but they're red hot. They're brimming with confidence. They're playing their best ball of the season. Like you guys have said, they're a very veteran team. Buzz compared him to Vandy. A&M blew Vandy out once, but the first time Vandy came in here, they gave A&M real problems. You know, that was a very close game until late. So, yeah, I mean, anytime you have a great scorer and B, a team full of shooters in this tournament, that usually sounds like a mid-major team, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it does.
But they're like a mid-major style and makeup. But they've been through the battles and played teams as good and in a couple instances better than A&M all year. So it's a scary one. But I think, you know, this A&M team, I think, wins it. And I most of my brackets I did, I have A&M getting out of this weekend. Just for the sake of trying, you know, not, you know, completely screwing myself, I will admit I did have one with Texas getting to the Final Four.
Billy, the thing that is intriguing, you've been talking about they're like a mid-major because they got a lot of players on their team.
From
mid-majors. They're all transfers, right? Like 4/5 of their starting lineup, all transfers and who have played high level for their programs before they get there to Penn State.
I'm going to tell you, if Penn State beats A&M, they can beat Texas too. Like it's the same thing we were talking about with A&M last year. That's why we wanted the Aggies in so badly, because we knew if they got in as a 10 or 11, they could beat a 6, they could beat a 2 or a 3. But I just think, you know, what we need to do is flip this around and say Penn State earned a 10, and they're probably like, why the hell are we playing a 4 or 5 in the first game? It's right. The same thing with Texas. Texas isn't crying. They're not complaining. They're a two seed. They think they should be a one. They're really damn good. But this A&M Texas matchup, if it were to happen, so if you're the Longhorns, you're going, we shouldn't have had to play a team like that until the Sweet 16. And then you can hope that they get knocked out and upset by less, you know. Texas, this A&M Texas potential matchup should have been like a 1-4-5, or at worst, yeah, well, I mean, it should be, yeah, that's what it probably should have been, is the 1 versus a 4 and 5. Or if Texas was going to be a 2, it should have been like, they probably could have drawn a 3 seed in the Sweet 16 that isn't even as good as A&M.
Let's hit a break here. We'll come back with more Billy here on Texags Radio. Right now, we're talking a little Caldwell Country Chevrolet, Highway 21 in Caldwell, and online at CaldwellCountryChevrolet.com. I feel sorry for the folks here in Des Moines because there's no Caldwell Country Chevrolet for them. I'm sure they got okay dealers, but they don't got Zach Hester and his people over there who do amazing work for the Brazos Valley, philanthropy, great deals, just involved in many, many different ways. If you're looking for a new vehicle, if you're looking to trade in, if you're looking to just for the right vehicle for your family, because you're in a different situation, your family's expanding and you need a bigger car, check out CaldwellCountryChevrolet.com, where they've got the best deals and the best prices and amazing customer service, including complimentary pickup for service vehicles out there. It's about a 15-minute drive, Brian and Caldwell, short conversation away, but you will see the difference when you step on the lot and you do business with Zach and the fellas there at Caldwell Country Chevrolet. It is on Highway 21 in Caldwell and online, CaldwellCountryChevrolet.com. Texags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in Rollo, in the Rollo Insurance Studio in our hotel room, the Holiday Inn in Des Moines, Iowa. It is a good time over here as we get ready for A&M versus Penn State, the late game. Billy Lucci still with us on the hotline. Billy, I don't like waiting, but it is what it is. And Logan reminded me this team had to wait last year in New York as well. This is not a... The waiting game, I think, is maybe more antsy for fans and whatnot than it is for the players themselves.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Texas A&M plays, I mean, not A&M, like every – I get the whole deal, like what you're saying. But A&M, the college basketball teams play at night more than 50% of their games. And, yeah, this is really late, 9 o'clock. I've been to more than a couple of 8 o'clock home games at Reed Arena this year, so it's not that much different. I think probably if you made basketball players say a preference, most kids at that age would say, I don't care, but just for the sake of normalcy, wouldn't mind playing a couple hours earlier, but they're not going to get tired. They don't care. Penn State's having to do the same thing. I don't think the waiting around thing is that big a deal in basketball. I really don't. I think, again, the other team has to do it as well. It's one thing. I think it's a little different, Nuno, when, like, you're playing a football game and you're on the road and you're playing late, late at night, or in any sport, really. The home team would have a big advantage. Not big, but I think there is an advantage there. This is neutral. Both teams are doing the exact same thing. I don't think it's at all an issue in terms of performance for either team.
Billy, to me, though, it is all about, when it comes to Buzz and his guys, their routine, and they will find their routine to fit into this setting. They've done it before, not only that, but just in this setting. The one thing that did strike me was, you know, they do have a shorter shoot around. It's 9.5 hours before, as opposed to the 8. All that being said, they know how to adjust to these situations. They've done it.
Well, then they'll do stuff in the hotel, Nuno. They'll be. I wouldn't surprise me if Buzz had I've been in hotels before on the road where, I think under Gillespie, where they have tape, you know, basically taped out a court in a hotel ballroom, where you've got a free throw, you know, a lane and a free throw line and. You know, they'll do that and get walkthrough type stuff in without a basket. You know, but Buzz is going to – listen, it's this thing we've been saying, right? There's a reason they went to the championship game of the last three tournaments they've been in. there's a reason Buzz Williams has taken Marquette to, I think, two Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight, or one and one. There's a reason that he took Virginia Tech to a Sweet 16, which they'd never been, and to within a tip in of an Elite Eight. There's a reason for all these things. The coach knows what it takes. These players understand what it takes. I really do believe, and that is something that, again, you go back to Texas, they haven't been to the round of 16 in 15 years. There are reasons why. Now, I love what Rodney Terry's done. I think they could go if the Aggies win tonight, I think whoever wins Saturday goes to a Final Four. I do. And I understand the roadblocks that lie in front. But I think with A&M, if they can get past this one and 48 hours later win probably a final minute game against Texas, because that's what it would take, then I think the world opens up for this basketball team. It really does. They could be a Cinderella type story. But this is the hard part. And tonight, in my opinion, might be the hardest part. I mean, understand what I'm saying. I don't think this is the best team that A&M will play. In fact, I think, you know, every team they would play from here on out this weekend and next will be better. But this is the hard part, in my opinion, is getting this. Remember them against Florida last year in that first game of the SEC tournament? Remember them down 13 at the half to Arkansas in the first game of this past one? The struggle they had in the opener of the NIT last year. I think this is the hard one in terms of get over that hump and then see if you can get that ball to roll downhill. And if this ball gets rolling downhill for this basketball team, watch out. But, man, one thing I want to say, David, is this has been a special, special team for not only this year but the last 2 years. And they've got the personalities, like we're talking about Dominique Kirk and AC and Joe and AK and Walker and Josh. We're talking about them 15 years later, you know, more than 15 years later. You're getting them on the show to talk. This is that kind of team. This team has that it factor. They've captured the imagination of the A&M fan base. The raucous record crowds at Reed. All the wins at home, what they did in the conference, what they did in the conference tournament. If this team can get past tonight and Saturday, I think they go down as the best A&M team ever, and they could, and then they go from there. Caruso and House and them would have a case too, because they did win a share of the SEC title, which this group did not. So maybe they got to go to the Elite Eight. But you get what I'm saying. This is a special group that Aggie fans are going to remember for a long time. I have a hard time not envisioning them doing something special on the court, because what I didn't say about them and all these accolades and all this, you know, praise is they're also really damn good. And we can talk about Penn State and the run they're on, and it's really impressive. Well, guess what? Vandy was on that same kind of run when A&M played them last week. They were on a very similar run. They ran into a buzzsaw in maroon and white. I think this Aggie team, what they've done on the court since the calendar turned 2023, is elite. It's up there with Texas. It's right there with Alabama. We saw it. They split with Bama. They finished a game behind them in the standings. They finished in the championship against them. This team's been playing at a top 10 level for 2.5 months. And at times, maybe even higher, you know, like, so this team, when they hit their stride, much like Aggie baseball, Dave, they are not necessarily what their record says they are. They are what you've been watching since they became who they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are what you've seen since they became who they are, just like baseball. And you saw what baseball did in the postseason, all the way down to beating Texas.
So what's the key to tonight, then, in your eyes, Billy?
I think it's just as simple as, obviously, you've got to defend the perimeter. You can't. They're going to get some open look threes along the way. You hope that they miss them. But you can't let them just get into a rhythm of just wide open threes, and then they just get into a rhythm and start draining them. So defending that is going to be, I think, the single biggest key. My second one, though, is, and this is what I feel good about, but it's still a key, A&M's ability to adjust. If something's not working, something else will. Because the Aggies are the more well-rounded, beat you in different ways basketball team, you know? Like, I think that making that adjustment, whether that be to let Wade cook, whether that be, hey, 23, Boots is getting to the basket with that left, let's let him go. This might be that game where he scores 24 and 8, you know, and or maybe it's, you know, what we've talked about. I've heard y'all talk about this. Maybe it's Marble and Coleman inside, or one or the other. But figure out what's working, that you have that to when they do hit a couple of shots, you can answer. And a couple of shots don't turn into runs. If they can do that, and then I think they'll be fine. And I think they'll win a tough game. I don't know if pull away is the word, but just I think they'll win the game and be shooting free throws at the end to ice it. And that's another one. Get the right guys to the line. Do what you do. That might be the other way, David. Just say, hey, let's just go get fouled. Drive the basket, get the ball inside. Wade, Boots, you guys go to work. Dex, get fouled. My final one is this, because I've heard you reference the first part of it, but not the second. Those threes lead to really long rebounds. Missed threes lead to long rebounds. There are times this year where, like, I've heard y'all talk about these scoring droughts and stuff, like against Bama or Arkansas or, but I feel like if you watch college basketball, I think you can count on one hand the number of teams that haven't had a handful of extent, maybe not 13 minutes like Mississippi State, but a handful of really long scoring droughts. I mean, those things happen to teams. This is a good offensive basketball team. I don't know if they're elite, but this is a good offensive basketball team. The good thing is if they do struggle to score at any stretch, they're playing defense. But to me, the one area, maybe in some of those losses even too, those long rebounds sometimes have been problematic. I think back to Mississippi State. They bricked so many threes in that game, but they kept getting second and third chances. You think about Alabama on that one pivotal possession we talked about last week, where the Aggies had cut it to 8, and they had a chance to get down and cut it to 6 or 5 even with about 12 minutes left, and they missed not one, not two, but 3 rebounds. And I know Bama's got all that length and stuff, but it was really because they were long rebounds. So the Aggies are going to have to do a great job there, from Boots and Dex all the way, you know, all the way up to the bigs. I think Anderson Garcia has to be a big X factor tonight as well, and then also Solo. So I think keep an eye on the long rebounds. If A&M's controlling that, I think they'll actually be fine.
Billy, thank you so much. We'll catch up tomorrow after the game, and we'll give a little recap.
I've got to go finish out my brackets. I got 9 minutes.
Go do it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, man. Billy Lucci there on the hotline. All right, when we come back here, a short segment, I'm going to play part of my interview with Jim Jackson, who's on the call today. Jimmy Jackson, former Dallas Maverick, Ohio State guard back in the day. You've seen him on NBA TV and everywhere else. But he was great. We talked to him for a few minutes yesterday. We'll run part of that interview next on TexAgs Radio. Final segment of the program, TexAgs Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. Appreciate all your text messages on the A and B text line. Good stuff there. I don't know why I got a little blurry on the camera there. Hey, let's do this. Let's play my interview with Jim Jackson. Then I'll try to read a couple more of the text messages on the A and B text line. Jim Jackson, part of the call with A&M's game later on this evening versus Penn State. We talked to him yesterday during the open practice segment of the media session.
I'm here with Jimmy Jackson. Now, I know you. You don't know me. But I used to work for the Mavs back in the day, and you used to have a restaurant I would go to all the time, Cuban. Cuba Libre. It was a great place to go. How you been, man?
I've been great, man. No complaints, man. Just enjoying this time of year like everybody else. Just got finished up with the Big East tournament. Yep. So just prepping, getting ready for what should be some great games tomorrow.
So we're Aggies. We love what Texas A&M does. What do you think about the brand of basketball that Buzz has brought to this tournament?
Well, see, I covered Buzz when he was at Marquette, so I understand the value principles that he's kind of bringing together, the toughness, but the togetherness, the mindset of the team, do things together. All of those little creative ideas are our life skills. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think Buzz wants to bring to the table more than anything. The basketball is secondary when it comes to that, but it's a part of it because I think the closer knit the team is, they're doing things the right way principle-wise, the better they'll be on the court.
The seven seed that they got, we took it as a disservice to what A&M did this year, but also to Texas, to Penn State. Like, they're not, to me, the way they played basketball the last part of the year, a seven seed, more like a four or five seed. Your thoughts on how that all played out? But
the whole seeding process is a lot different. It's just because once you start to get into that, you're like, okay, if they're a seven seed or they're a six seed, who do you remove from that four spot? And how do you remove them based on their quad one win? So it's a whole mathematical thing. Sometimes it's over my head. But the thing is, you're here. The mindset is that you want to win one game at a time, no matter if you're a four seed or you're a seven seed. One game at a time. That's the attitude you got to have.
Last thing for you, Wade Taylor. We love watching him. You know all about guards. Yeah. What did you see from him this year?
He reminds me a lot of a young Eric Bledsoe that played in the league, a physical guard that loves to get downhill, not afraid of contact, not afraid of the big moment, tough to keep out of the lane. And when he does, he can spray the ball. And I was watching the game. I said, he reminds me of a young Eric Bledsoe.
Thank you so much.
All right, that was my interview with Jim Jackson yesterday. I appreciate his few minutes. He used to own this spot in Dallas that I would frequent quite a bit and was always very kind and very polite. So I always enjoy chatting with him for a few minutes. Let's get to some final text messages on the A&B text line. Bob in Kentucky called him Dominique the Raptor Kirk. That was good. Brent, class of 04, says, I was wondering how y'all think whatever Penn State's Texags thinks about us. Well, I'm sure, let's call it Nittany. What's a good, Nick, help me out. What's a good nickname for like a Texags version of Penn State? PennBuddy.com.
PennBuddy. Okay, sure. Yeah. I don't think something like this exists for them, but that'll be a good one.
Come on.
PennPal. LionCubs.com. I don't know. Nittany. What is a Nittany Lion? Do we know?
It's a lion. The Nits. Hmm. Like, Nits.
The Nitwits.
The Nitwits. Look at that. Yeah. That's probably none of those are going to. You know what? I'll tell you this, Brent. They probably think, oh my goodness, we got seeded 10th, which is kind of cool if you're taking on a real 7 seed, but we're taking on a team that is higher than that. But, like, honestly, it's game day. Like, I've moved on from the seeding. Just go win these games. You can beat Penn State. You can beat Texas. You can beat Xavier. You can beat, I guess, Houston, if that's all hot played. Like, you can beat all these teams. So let's go do it. It starts tonight, though, against a very talented three-point shooting team in Penn State. All right, thank you so much for all of you, Nick and Sean there back in College Station, to OB, Logan, and the rest of the gang. We will see you all mañana. Beat the hell out of Penn State.